Amen. Father, we thank you for bringing us to your Bible study. Thank you for all the brethren at the Bible study at the headquarters and in all the various church locations all over the world. Lord, we pray that your word will come afresh to everyone tonight in Jesus' name. And we pray that our study together will not be in vain, that your word will empower, energize, envision everyone, and everything we ask, everything we need, you grant to everyone in Jesus' name. We know you have answered. We'll see the result in our very lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. God bless you. Consider, we're coming to James chapter 1. Tonight we're looking at verses 5 through to 8. Please open your Bible, James chapter 1, reading from verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In verse 6 it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, it says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Then in verse 8 it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Tonight we're looking at the topic, always praying and asking in faith, nothing wavering. Always praying and asking in faith, whether we're asking for wisdom or the fulfillment of any of the other promises of the Lord, we're asking for salvation, we're asking for sanctification, we're asking for immersion, baptism, the power in the Holy Ghost, we're asking to find the will of God in marriage, we're asking for the blessing of healing and health, we're asking for deliverance, we're asking for something that we need, that human effort, human agency could not provide for us. Anything we're asking, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And so there is a particular request, wisdom. There is a general request, whatever our need may be, always praying and asking in faith, nothing wavering. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, the fullness for petitioners, praying without wavering, praying without doubting, praying without dilly-dallying, praying without having a double mind. We're asking as petitioners, we're asking as the people that go to God in prayer, and we ask according to the promise of God, according to the faithfulness of God, without wavering. Number two, the failure of people pauperized by wavering, made poor by wavering, not having because they waver, not possessing because they waver. The failure of people pauperized by wavering. Number three is the faith of possessors. The people that possess the promises of God, the people that possess the manifestation of the goodness of God, of the provision of God, and everything provided at Calvary. The faith of possessors, praying and prevailing, nothing wavering. Let's come to number one. Number one, we're looking at the fullness for petitioners, praying without wavering. Look at James chapter 1 verse 5. In James chapter 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, Here, the Lord is impartial. Here, the Lord is throwing open the promise to everyone, everyone in the family of God. Anyone, because he had called us brethren in an earlier verse, and he says, any of you brethren, if any of you lack wisdom or any other thing promised by God, let him ask of God, that given to all men, underline that word, all men, you included, everyone included, you're a member of the family of God, you are born again, you're a child of God, any other thing you are asking, all men. But if you are a sinner, you have not known the Lord, all sinners, he has promised us forgiveness to you, he's promised us peace of mind, he's promised us justification, he's promised us righteousness coming from Calvary and coming into our hearts, and all sinners are free to come. All men, that give it to all men liberally. What does that mean? Abundantly. What does that mean? Overflowing, that he gives us. He says he gives us liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't challenge us. Are you just coming now? No question. Why didn't you come before? No question. Or is it after you have failed, after you tried your own strength, your own power, and your own wisdom, you fail now, you are coming? No, not at all. There is no chastisement. There is no upbraiding. There is no chastisement, or there is no rebuke. It says he gives us liberally, and he upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. What a glorious promise, and it shall be given him. What a glorious confidence you ought to have. It shall be given him. The fullness for petitioners praying without worrying. Look at three things there. Number one is wisdom for holy living through the prayer of faith. Number two, the wells of higher love by possessors of faith. Number three, walk with heavenly light and the patience of faith. Look at number one. Number one, we're looking at wisdom for holy living through the prayer of faith. Already he tells us there, if anyone lacks wisdom, wisdom to live, wisdom to interact, and wisdom to operate in life, wisdom to overcome temptation, and wisdom to build a good life, a righteous life, a pure life, a satisfactory life. If any of us lack that kind of wisdom, the wisdom for holy living through the prayer of faith. Look at James chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, a good conduct, a good lifestyle, out of his works with meekness of wisdom. That's the wisdom, meek and lowly and gentle and observant, looking at all things and looking before he leaves, and thinking before he jumps to a conclusion. And he lives a life of wisdom, a life of meekness, a life of peace, a life of holiness. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above. There's a wisdom from beneath. That one does not give us the power, the ability to live a victorious life. There is a wisdom that comes horizontally from people like us, as weak as we are, as sinful as, you know, the rest of the world. There is wisdom that comes from people that live on the ground. They live on earth, and they live by the strength of the power of the earth. But the wisdom that comes from above, that comes from the throne of God, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, as pure as where it's coming from. First pure. It's coming from above. It's coming from heaven. As pure as the heaven that makes that wisdom to descend. The wisdom that comes from God God is pure, and everything that comes from him will be pure. The wisdom that comes will be pure. The knowledge that comes from him will be pure. The understanding, the devotion, and the ability that comes from him will be pure, because the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. This is the wisdom coming from the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace in heaven that is seated by the right hand of majesty on high. The wisdom is as peaceful as the source of that wisdom, and gentle. And then it says, easy to be entreated and full of mercy, of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The wisdom that comes from above is as impartial as the God who gives that wisdom is impartial. The wisdom that comes from above is as honest, without hypocrisy, as the source from where that wisdom is coming. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 11, reading there from verse 2, about this kind of wisdom. Who possesses that kingdom? Who passes on that wisdom unto us? And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's upon our Redeemer, upon Christ. And the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the same kind of wisdom in Christ that made him to live always satisfying the Lord, always pleasing the Father, that kind of wisdom comes because it's the Spirit of wisdom, and it's the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Look at verse 3. In verse 3 it says, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. The wisdom the Lord is asking us to ask for and to pray for, and to pray without wavering, the Spirit of wisdom that retains the fear of the Lord. And then it says, and shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Let me remind you, it's talking to the brethren. It's talking to those who are born again. It's talking to the people that have the grace from heaven to live the gracious life on earth. And it says, we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And we have the grace, the love, the faith, the wisdom that comes from above. And we live here on earth as we're living here on earth in our families, living here on earth in our offices, living here on earth in our communities. It says we walk circumspectly, we walk properly, we walk with understanding, not as fools, but as wise. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Buying back the time. The time was spent in a foolish existence here on earth, and we spent the time foolishly. We spent the time gossiping. We spent the time unprofitably. We spent the time not thinking about our future, not thinking about heaven, not thinking about our destiny. We spent our past lives in foolishness. It now says, you're born again, you need the wisdom, and you lack that wisdom, so that you get the wisdom from God and you redeem the time. You buy back the time. You don't spend your time like you used to. And it says, because the days are evil. Look at verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. What's another way of saying that? Be wise. What's another way of saying that? Live with wisdom. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Colossians chapter 4, we're reading from verse 5. Walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. You're in a new community, you don't know the people who are there. Walk in wisdom. You've met some new people, and everyone will try to present themselves to you. They want to be your friend. They want to be your companion. They want to guide you. They want to control. Live with wisdom. Walk in wisdom. There's a new project, and there is a new intention you have, and you're bubbling within. You want to talk to everybody about that. Walk in wisdom. You've just discovered, you know, the heartthrob, the person the Lord is saying, that's the person you marry. And, you know, it's like you want to talk to everybody about it, anyone. You're not even discerning whether that person likes it or not. Walk in wisdom. You've got a family, you're enjoying the family. It's like there's no life like this on earth, and you want to talk to everybody. You think everybody loves that. Walk in wisdom. You've made a new discovery. You've been doing some research, and now new discoveries are coming out. You want to publish it here and publish it there, and you want to tell everybody in the same field. Do you know that problem that everybody was thinking about solving and they were not able to solve? I got the answer. I see this. Walk in wisdom. Those who walk in wisdom don't talk too much. Those who walk in wisdom, they have the wisdom to direct them and to instruct them. Those who walk in wisdom, they're not impatient. They're not, you know, it's like, I want to tell everybody, I want to tell somebody. They're slow. They're slow to talk. They're slow to judge, and they're slow to say, this is what I am doing. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Once again, buying back the time. Do less talking. Do more planning. Redeem the time. Do less moving around, roaming about. Time is brief, life is brief, and time is short. Redeem the time. Don't you have something you have to get done? Don't you have vision? Don't you have goal? Don't you have ambition? Don't you have aspiration? Buy back the time. The time you've given to this and given to this and given to that, and even the time of thinking on something that will not move you on, redeem your time. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Look at number 2 there. Number 2 there, we're looking at the wealth of higher love by possessors of faith. When we have faith, we have the wealth of wisdom, and we have the wealth of higher love. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. That's talking about husband to the wife. She loves me, so I can say anything, anytime, with any tone of voice, any time of the day. No, she loves me, and so she wouldn't mind me pointing out something about her appearance and about her, you know, about her conduct. No, She loves me so much, she will not mind my using the Bible to pierce her heart and to say, my wife, my darling, I know you love me, you will not mind, I'm going to tell you this, and I don't know any better way to say it. I'm saying it that is coming from my mind. No, it says, in the home, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And then it says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. If we talk foolishly, if we talk without thinking, if we talk without saying, how will this go down with him? How will this rub on him or rub on her? If we talk without understanding the feeling, the emotion, and the stage in which our partner, our spouse is, we might be hindering our own prayers. We might be hindering our own progress. It tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 15, it is surprising. Now look at this. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shall thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. That's giving wisdom to the whole nation. Moses was sent by the Lord, and he said, you are going to possess the land. You'll be a great nation, and you'll be multitudes of people at the sand on the seashore and at the stars of heaven. Now, you needed to give them wisdom when you choose a king. You'll hear of philosophers. You'll hear of great men, of philanthropic people. You'll hear of great, great men outside the land. Don't go to them. Don't choose them. The king you choose must be among you. A circumcised man. A circumspect man. A compassionate man, a person that has the love of his fellow Israelites in mind. That is from where you will choose a king. What a great wisdom for us in the church, that when you need a teacher, find out from the church here. You need a preacher, find out from the church. You need a leader, and you need a director. You need somebody to control. Yes, we know there are some people outside there that do not have the wisdom from heaven. They have the wisdom of the earth. And when they write their CV, curriculum vitae, they can put, I did this, I did this, I did this. Things that are very impressive. Choose your directors, your managers, your leaders, your pastors, your preacher, from within the congregation of saved, sanctified, spirit-filled people. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, we're told, but he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. Whoever you choose as your leader, whoever, at whatever time, after you've settled in the land of promise, that king will not lead the nation back to Egypt. That king will not copy the Egyptians with their horses and multiply horses. And then it says, should not multiply horses, for as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth not return that way. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, neither shall he multiply wives. Whatever king you choose, He will not be a polygamist. He will not be a man that multiplies wives. And then it says that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And there is one man in the Bible. He's credited with great wisdom. But you know, there are different kinds of wisdom. And if you remember his prayer, when he prayed, he said, "Give me wisdom and understanding to lead the people, to guide the people." He didn't say, "Give me wisdom to live a life of holiness, personal, individual, internal, intensive." He didn't pray for that. He prayed for wisdom to guide and to lead. And yes, God gave him that wisdom. There's a kind of wisdom he did not have. The wisdom of the scripture. Because the Lord had said, "Whoever you choose as king, he will take a copy of the word of God." At that time, what he had was the law. And he would be reading for himself, reading for himself. He had the wisdom to lead a nation. He didn't get the wisdom. The only wisdom you can get from the Bible, from the word of God, to take that word and read and read and read and read every day and guide his life and guide his direction and guide his activities by the word of God. He didn't have that. You know his story in 1 Kings chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 1. In 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 1, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, and the Ammonites, and the Edomites, and the Zidonians, and the Hittites." Look at verse 2. In verse 2, "of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, thou shalt not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their God." Solomon clave unto these in love. He had the wisdom of organization, the wisdom of administration, the wisdom of rulership, the wisdom of governing the nation. But the wisdom that will prepare him for the kingdom of God, preserve him for the kingdom of God, the wisdom to be obedient to the word of the Lord in every detail, that he did not have. We can only have that by reading the wisdom of God. That's the Bible. That's the word of God. And if we only concentrate on the wisdom for administration, for leadership, for organization, the wisdom to control others, but we're not having morning devotion. The daily manna is there for us, and that daily manna contains wealth of wisdom that we'll read every day. The passages there, and the thought of the day there, and the scripture we're to read for the day, in going through the Bible and reading the Bible through every year, all those things are there illustrations there, explanation there that will inspire us. If we don't read that, we don't read the Bible, and we don't come to, you are coming, you know, you are here. If I'm talking about those who don't come to the Bible study, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about your friends that you ought to invite and bring to the Bible study. And the Bible study ought to be very full so that we can have the wisdom to love and the wisdom that is higher than whatever we have got. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, he tells us, and the Lord was angry with Solomon. Why? Because although he had wisdom external, wisdom for management, wisdom to tell other people this way, that way, he didn't have wisdom to live a life pleasing unto God. So the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord, God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Come to number three here. Number three, walk with heavenly light and the patience of faith. In Psalm 119, reading from verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Whatever we have, book knowledge, whatever we have, Bible knowledge, whatever we have, knowledge of many, many things, you still will not be able to walk in the dark. When it's so dark and the sun is not shining in your pathway and the moon is not shining on your pathway, pitfalls are there and traps are there in the world. It is the light that makes us to see. And then when we see, we're able to avoid the pitfalls and the pit holes and all the traps of the world. And it is the word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Look at verse 130, 130. It says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. We need that light. The light coming from God. The word of God that gives us the wisdom. And it's the wisdom of God because God is light. And when we walk in that light, we walk uprightly. We walk justly. We walk humbly and we walk honestly before the Lord. Not that, you know, somebody comes to the Bible study and all that we learn, he doesn't retain. And when the following day he wants to take decision, he wants to go any direction, he has forgotten. Even some of us who preach, we preach the word, we study the word, but then even after preaching, want to take decision, there's a challenge, there's a problem, there's a knot to crack, and there is something to unravel, we forget the words we have been preaching. And then we just act what I've always done, the way I've always gone, and there's no light there. It's the entrance of thy words that giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. In 1 John chapter 1, reading from verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And how can we have that divine light? By his word. In his word. God is light. How can he help us? and show us that divine light every step we take in life by his word that he gives to us. Yet his spirit, the spirit of truth, and his word, the scripture of truth. He says God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Walk in darkness. What's darkness? The knowledge of the world. Darkness. What's darkness? The advice of the world. Darkness. What's darkness? The pattern of the world. What's darkness? The ideology that comes from the devil, the prince of darkness. Whatever comes from him, and whatever comes from him through the people of the world, darkness. And it says, if we say we're in fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, but if we walk in the light of the word of God, in the light of the doctrines of the Bible, in the light of the sayings of Christ, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanseth us from all sin. Let's come to point number two here. Point number two, we're looking at the failure of people pauperized, made poor by wavering. We're looking at James chapter 1, verse 6. I begin reading in the middle of verse 6. It says, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And then in verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. The person that has been tossed by the wind, external forces. The external forces are so pronounced. The external forces drive people, and they are not able to even think on their own, able to decide from an inner strength, from an inner knowledge, and from an inner fountain, and from an inner rock. Because the external idea, external opinion, external things that dazzle, confuse them. And it says, these people, they shall not think they shall receive anything of the Lord. And then in verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man, he has two minds. One mind looks at the scripture and it says, I believe. The other mind looks at things around. It says, how can I believe with all these things happening? It's up and down. He looks up and he says, I can climb any mountain. He looks up and he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He looks down, he's up and down, and he sees everything happening down below. And he says, I don't think I can go through this. I don't think I can make this. I don't think I can be victorious. He looks at the triumph of Christ, and he looks at what the transforming power of the blood of the Lamb will do. And he says, I can live above sin. I can overcome. And whatever the trial, whatever the temptation, I overcome. But he looks at the temptations around and he remembers what kind of defeated life he lived in the past. He said, what makes me think that I can overcome today what used to overcome me up and down? He has a double mind. He tries to have the mind of Christ. On the other hand, the mind of the carnal pulls him down, up and down. He doesn't have trust in God again, confidence in God again, the ability to think, to say, God is over all, and through him, I will overcome. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's unstable in prayer. He's unstable in practice. He's unstable in everything that he tries to do. And because of that instability, and because of that double-mindedness, is a failure in areas of life that really matter. Three things we're looking at. We're looking at number one, the fatal tossing of driven, distracted minds. Distracted minds. If you allow the things around you, things people do, things people say, and the pressures that people give, if you allow that to drive you and to distract you, your life has been taken away from your hand. You don't own that life anymore. It's only where the drivers and the distractors, where they want you to go, that's where you go. And there'll be failure, fatal tossing of driving distracted minds. Number two, the fruitless toiling of doubting, disbelieving men. Fruitless. Your work, like nobody works. You work night and day. You work in every direction. You'll expend energy, but because you're a doubtful man and you're a disbelieving man, all that toil, all that sweating yields nothing. Number three, the fearful toll. The fearful toll on drifting, double-minded minglers. You mingle so much with the never-do-wells in life. You mingle so much with purposeless people on earth that your mingling with them dissipates your life, destroys your life, makes your life worthless. Fearful tool on drifting, double-minded minglers. Let's look at number one there. Number one, the fatal tossing of driven, distracted minds. Once again, James chapter 1, the second part of verse 6. In James chapter 1, second part of verse 6, for he that wavereth, he makes that his habit. He that wavereth, you cannot find him stable. You cannot find him having the same conviction, having the same steadfastness. He that wavereth is of this opinion now. Meet him in another 1 hour, is of another opinion. Here he stands and he says, this is where I stand. And some other people, sweet mouth, sugar-coated talkers, they come to him and he says, I thought I was standing here, but from what you have said now, here is where I stand. The following day, another clever clown comes to him and tells him the deepest lie anyone has ever told, but he's not discerning. He doesn't know that this is a deep, a great lie to judge him and to make his life without profit. Again, it changes those people who don't have any steady conviction, any steadfast stand. Those people, they never get anything in life. It says, he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Driven with the wind and tossed. It tells us in Psalm 107, reading from verse 25. Psalm 107, from verse 25. For he commandeth and raises the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Look at the next verse, verse 26. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. He talks about people who go so high because the wave takes them high, and talks about people who goes, the same people, in the next moment, they go down, so down, and they are troubled. The people, when they are excited, the people, when they are inspired, there are people, when they read something, they hear something, it brings the fire and the zeal in their lives. They are up. And then they consecrate, and their consecration mounts up to heaven. But you can't depend on them, because the very next moment, from that high inspiration, they have a deep, deep depression. That is like they don't even know what they are thinking, and they don't know what they can do. Do or what they're doing emotionally, up, high up, down, deep down, and they're tossed here and there. They do not have an anchor for their soul. They do not have Jesus Christ as our solid rock on whom we can plant our feet. And if you know a person like that, what's he going to do in life? And if you're like that, we hear you on Sunday when you're in the service and you pray and you say, this coming week, coming month, this year, I'm telling you, I came in covenant with God. This I will do. Here I will go. That I will achieve. He gets to the office the following day, Monday, Tuesday, that weekday. The weekday is weak. Sunday, he appears to be in sunshine, but he's up and down, up and down. He doesn't have experience in the Lord, experience in salvation, experience that makes him steadfast in the rock of ages. Is always here and there, distracted and driven. What will a person like that achieve in life? You will be different. I'm talking to you in particular. Your life will be different. All the wind, all the storm, all the things all around driving us, distracting us, displacing us, everything, anything like that will not have any effect upon your life in Jesus' name. Look at number two here. Number two, the fruitless toiling of doubting, disbelieving men. Doubting, disbelieving men. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, reading from verse 8, I will therefore that men pray. But that's not enough. The people who pray, the people go to mountains, the people go to prayer retreats, and they pray and pray and pray. The only challenge they have, they don't have the promises of God that they are praying on. The only challenge they have, they don't have the faith that will not stagger at any problem. The only problem they have is that they are not men or women of confident faith in the Lord. It's not enough to pray. And look at this. I will that men pray everywhere. By the way, everywhere in the civilized world, in the third world, that every man, all men pray everywhere, no matter who we are, no matter where we live, no matter the development in any place that we live, there are challenges that no human solution can be provided for. That's why anywhere we are, everywhere we are, that we pray everywhere, then it says lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Without wrath. How many people do you know that pray with wrath in their heart? Anger in their heart. They will not obey the words of Christ that we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And that even if they trespass against us, 70 times 7 times, forgive. Now when you come to prayer, anyone that has offended you, forgive. But if you carry wrath, anger, or forgiving spirit to the place of prayer, you're walking against yourself. You're destroying your own possibility of having the progress you are asking for. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without trust and doubting. Doubting, that's unbelief. And unbelief will not allow us to inherit the promises of God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The kingdom of God, for anyone to enter, he must be born again. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Being born again, we have to have faith, faith in the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. To enter into the kingdom of God, to make it at the time of the rapture, we must believe. To have peace with all men and holiness, that which no man shall see the Lord. So we see, they could not enter in because of unbelief. Power, the power of the Holy Ghost that makes us to do the service of God in great power, to enter in without faith. So was see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The possibility of entering into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. To enter into such abundant life, we need faith. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Look at number three here. Number three, we're looking at the fearful toll on drifting double-minded minglers. In Psalm 106, reading from verse 35, but they were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. They were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. Those minglers could not achieve what they set out to achieve because they mingled with the heathen. It tells us in Hosea chapter 10, reading from verse 2. Hosea chapter 10, verse 2. It says their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. If you identify with deeper life, and you identify a shallow life out there, your heart will be divided. If you mingle with the people that believe in victory, victory over sin, victory over self, victory over Satan, but you mingle with people who say we cannot have victory here on earth, and they argue and argue, and they say because they fail that we will also keep on failing. Because you are a mingler, you will not have the victory you ought to have. It is when you come out from among them and you set your face like a flint, and you're looking unto the Lord, and you say, every promise in the book I claim, I accept, I possess. Whether any other person on earth believes it or not, I am steadfast, and I claim the promise of the Lord for victorious living, for righteous living, and for powerful, progressive, purposeful living. If the people like that who are steadfast and who pray until they realize the promise, those are the people that have the goodness of the Lord overflowing in their lives. But the people of double mind, their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, so to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Amen. A reign of righteousness. A reign of resurrection power. A reign of victory in every life in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number three. The faith of possessors praying and prevailing, nothing wavering. We're looking at James chapter 1, verse 6. James chapter 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith. Asking for wisdom. Let him ask in faith. Asking for redemption. Let him ask in faith. Asking for righteousness. Heaven's kind of righteousness. Let him ask in faith. Asking for healing. Let him ask in faith. Asking for the fulfillment of the promise of God. Let him ask in faith. Asking for the power to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Asking for the possibility and the stability and the continuity of earnestly, purposefully, wholeheartedly, and fearlessly contending, fearlessly defending, and fearlessly upholding the faith once delivered unto the saints. Let him ask in faith. A person that wants to earnestly, wholeheartedly, and fervently defend the faith, possess the faith, live by the faith, and live for the faith all his life, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of pleasure, in the midst of any situation here on earth, he wants to have the steadfastness, the earnestness, the purpose, the power to earnestly defend the faith. He must have the faith himself, the faith that is steadfast, the faith that is wholesome, the faith that will not look here and there, because he must ask in faith. The Lord has promised. The Lord has given assurance. Ask. It shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If he being evil, nor to give good things unto your children, how much more? He gives us assurance just for the asking. You come to ask, and you ask in faith, and you ask because of the faithfulness of God who has promised. He said, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things and give the gift of the Holy Ghost to them that ask him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Look at three things here. Number one, faith in the faithfulness of God. Faith in the faithfulness of God. Number two, faith with the fervency of the godly. Number three, faith through the furtherance of the gospel. Look at number one. Number one, faith in the faithfulness of God. How is it we're able to ask in faith, because God is faithful. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 10, reading from verse 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Notice that again, without wavering. And it says, without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. He has promised us eternal life, everlasting life, resurrection life, renewed life, transformed life, righteous life, a promise, and he is faithful, that promise. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Titus chapter 1, reading from verse 2. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Everything he promised, he had the power to do. He had the foresight. He was going to do it. Eternal life, salvation, godly life, sanctification, powerful life, Holy Ghost baptism, he promised. And because he cannot lie, because he is faithful, we can trust, we can depend on him, having the faith in the faithfulness of God. Number two is faith for the fervency of the godly. It tells us in James chapter 5, James chapter 5, reading from verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's waiting for a rousing amen. Amen. You have a friend who is sick, the prayer of faith, even tonight, will heal the sick in Jesus' name. Amen. A brother, a sister, a spouse, husband, wife, child, sick. Maybe she's not even here tonight. Maybe he's not even here tonight. The prayer of faith will go from here and touch them and heal them in Jesus' name. The prayer of faith by a prophet of God, by a leader in the church, by a member of the body of Christ, by the united congregation together, the prayer of faith will heal the sick in Jesus' name. Amen. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The amen is lower. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that she may be healed, that she may be delivered, that she may be set free, that she may be renewed, that she may be revived. The effectual fervent prayer, the effectual fervent prayer, not dull prayer, not the prayer we pray, we're dozing, if we're standing, we're almost falling down, that kind of prayer, the heart is not there. The mind is not there. The body is tired, the mind is tired, the spirit is tired, the soul is tired. No. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. What kind of prayer are you praying tonight? I said, what kind of prayer would we pray tonight? Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous church. Avails much. Your prayer, my prayer, our prayer will avail much tonight in Jesus' name. Whatever the weakness, whatever the sickness, whatever the challenge, it will drive everything away in Jesus' name. Look at number three here. Number three, faith through the furtherance of the gospel. Faith through the furtherance of the gospel. Everywhere we take the gospel to, furtherance of the gospel, we go with faith. And the faith will produce results in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You missed a good amen there. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be healed. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be strengthened. Power from on high. Revival from on high. Solution to every problem from on high. Upon you. Upon me. Upon us all together. Rise up and receive. Rise up and receive. We're coming to the Lord. Any of us will lack anything? Wisdom, salvation, righteousness, redemption, power, whatever we lack, ask of God, who give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, it shall be given unto you. Open your mouth and ask the Lord. Ask him. Believing. He giveth to all men, and he upbraideth not. He will not rebuke you. He will not push you back. He will not deny you. He will give unto you, unto us, unto all men. That the measure of his love unto you. Since you know you'll not be denied, why don't you ask wisdom to live? Pray, ask in faith. We don't have any reason to doubt God. Nothing wavering. He wants every sinner saved. You can ask. He wants every backslider restored. He loves you. And he will not say, but look at what you have done. Look at what you have done. He loves you. He'll restore you. He wants every saved soul to be sanctified. And he'll not question you, why is it taking so long before you came to ask for sanctification? He upbraideth not. Or sanctify you. If you're having challenge, difficulty, living at peace with anyone, you've exhausted all your own wisdom to live at peace with him or with her, ask the Lord. He will give you that wisdom to live peaceably with all men. You're having difficulty living in holiness, righteousness, in particular certain circumstances. Ask. He gives the grace for holiness, the grace for godliness. In every situation, liberally he gives without upbraiding. You're having challenge to consistently stand steadfastly in faith. Worrying, wobbling, wavering, come to the Lord. He'll grant you the steadfastness, build you upon the rock, and the winds and the waves and the storm will not be able to toss you here and there. You're having challenge with consistency in contending earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. You're distracted here and there, diverted here and there, driven here and there. Too much pressure, and you cannot stand, and you don't have a strong shoulder that will bear the weight of earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Come and ask the Lord. He'll strengthen your shoulder, strengthen your mind, stabilize your mind. Make you stand steadfast, firm, unshakable. Wisdom at home, you lack the wisdom to make your weaker vessel happy, fulfilled, satisfied. You lack the wisdom to provide for her physical, natural, emotional, spiritual needs. Come. Come to the Lord. He gives wisdom liberally, and he upbraids not. You lack the wisdom to build your home, to keep the children, the wisdom to build that home on a foundation of love, forgiveness, good interaction, good communication. You lack the wisdom? Come and ask of God. He gives to all men liberally. You lack the wisdom in your business. You're working and sweating. You're toiling all you know. And then yet the wisdom to make profit you lack. Come, ask him. He'll give you liberally, without rebuking or upbraiding. You lack the wisdom to keep your workers in your company after you send them for training, and now they are better, other companies will distract and attract them. And you're losing them and losing them and losing them. Wisdom, come. He giveth to all men liberally, upbraideth not. You lack the wisdom to make your students succeed, to make your subordinates progress. Wisdom. Ask him. He gives to you. He gives to all men liberally. He upbraideth not. You have the wisdom to organize like Solomon, supervise like Solomon, wisdom in administration, but you don't have the wisdom to keep your flesh under control. You don't have the wisdom to be satisfied with one wife. Come ask of God. He giveth and giveth and giveth wisdom to live an overcoming life. Wisdom. To be fully, totally, completely satisfied with one wife, your wife. One husband, your husband. If any of us lack wisdom, after demonstrating wisdom for administration, direction, and wisdom for organization, but this inner wisdom to keep a home, to build a home. If any of you lack wisdom, come, ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. The wisdom to keep happy at home, joyful at home, satisfied at home, fulfilled at home. So you are not running away from home. So go and look for fulfillment, settlement, happiness outside. Wisdom to make the best of that home where you are, that God has given you. Wisdom. Let him ask of God nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed. Let not that man, that woman, that wavering man, that wavering woman think that he or she shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, a double-minded woman, a double-minded churchgoer is unstable in all his ways. Be steadfast. Be focused. Set your faith. Set your face like a flint. Be focused. Be fervent. Be faithful. He answers prayer. The effectual fervent prayer. A righteous man, righteous woman availeth much. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be sanctified, shall be steadfast, shall be healed, shall be delivered, shall be strengthened, shall be empowered, shall be baptized. God answers prayer. God has answered your prayer. My prayer is answered. Your prayer is answered. Everything you have asked the Lord, he giveth liberally. He has answered your prayer. He'll take you higher. Amen. He'll take you deeper. He'll take you higher. Father, and the power of the Lord and the wisdom of the Lord will not fail in your life in Jesus' name. Where are you? I am here. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your compassion. Thank you for all your children here at the headquarters, here in every local church, and there online, everywhere. Everyone has asked for something tonight. Wisdom in particular. Lord, I pray, grant unto everyone in Jesus' name. any area we have seen lack in our lives, supply abundantly, proficiently, plenteously, abundantly, in every life tonight, in Jesus' name. All other blessings were asked for. Lord, we're asking that you grant unto us in Jesus' name the power to be steadfast, the power to be unmovable, the power to be unstoppable. Grant everyone in Jesus' name the power to earnestly, confidently, fervently, wholeheartedly be the defender of the faith. Grant to everyone in Jesus' name that no tossing wind, no blowing wind, no distracting wind, no driving wind will stop us from earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints in Jesus' name. In the church, in our homes, in the places of work, anywhere, everywhere we find ourselves, we will build the house of our faith on the rock. Nothing will shake any of us. Amen. Nothing will move any of us. Amen. That, Lord, as we obey, as we hearken, as we give ourselves completely unto this word, we pray the winds that blow, the storms that come, will not blow our house of faith down in Jesus' name. The faith to receive. Receive your sanctification. Receive your purity. Receive your power. Receive your healing. Receive our health. Receive total redemption. The faith to receive. Grant everyone in Jesus' name. Any of our friends, any of our brethren who are not here tonight, or maybe they are here tonight, they have sickness, they have pain, they have whatever, Lord, in unity of faith, will send your power to the sick. Sickness, come out in Jesus' name. All the infirmity, all those oppressing spirits, and all those negative thoughts, because of the pain, because of the pressure, because of the plague, I command, come out in Jesus' name. Lord, let your healing virtue flow into every life, everyone that is sick, in Jesus' name. Heal our sick wives. Heal our sick husbands. Heal our sick parents. Heal our sick children. And members of your church, they accept you, they believe your word, and there is power beyond their faith. Lord, we join our faith with theirs. And we're asking, Lord, heal and deliver them in Jesus' name. And Lord, this ministry you have given us, the faith, the wisdom, the power to build this ministry on the solid rock, that nothing will divert our attention from the calling you have given us. Grant us the faith and the wisdom. Amen. the wisdom and the steadfastness. That every time, day or night, meeting day or any other day, Lord, the consciousness that we must be steadfast and the power to remain steadfast, stable, solid, grant you the pastor, grant you the leaders, grant you the workers, grant you the whole church in Jesus' name. We know it's done. Every prayer we're prayed individually, every prayer we're prayed corporately together tonight, the answer has come. We have received. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.